Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Right now, revisiting one of the craziest days in the history of us covering sports, for sure, but really in the history of our country, this time a year ago. And to help us talk more about that and all things college basketball as well, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated. Pat, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How about y'all?
We are doing wonderful. And Pat, I just want to get your thoughts. What do you remember about this time a year ago when sports and soon after the world, really, as we know it, shut down with Rudy Gobert testing positive, the NBA soon after postponing their season, and just the domino effect that happened after that? What do you remember about this time a year ago?
Yeah, boy, I sure remember it well. I wish I didn't. But, I was in Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis and just getting ready to watch Rutgers and Michigan tip off that whole quarterfinal day at the Big Ten. And it was weird because there was no fans at that point. You know, it was like unprecedented, but at least they were still going to play. And it was about, I want to say, 15 minutes before tip-off, security guy just comes out and sends both teams to the locker room. And right then and you're there, you're like, what is going on? And then, you start hearing, okay, this tournament's canceled. Oh, so's the ACC and the Big 12 and everything else. And it was almost like an earthquake where you're like feeling the ground move under your feet and you're like, what exactly is happening here? It was a very surreal day and certainly not a fun day for anybody that loves sports, that's for sure.
Well, Pat, you're a wordsmith, so it characterized the past year, what we've all gone through and where we are now.
Yeah, well, let's get really articulate about it and just say it sucked. No, just terrible. I mean, awful, tragic, sad, hundreds of thousands of lives lost and, from a sports perspective, surreal. The funny thing, somebody was actually asking me about this yesterday. I was speaking to a high school class and they said, well, what did you do? I was like, were you worried that there wasn't anything to do? I was like, well, yes, I was. And then ended up being more busy than I've ever been in my life. Just incredible, the amount of news and just trying to figure out, are we going to have a football season, became the dominant topic of the spring and the summer. And I think as a whole, I guess from a sporting perspective, a college sports perspective, we've come through it okay. We had a football season. It was, I think, a successful football season. I wasn't sure that was possible, but it did happen. And we've had a basketball season. We're going to have a basketball tournament. So I'm thankful that those things happened. At the time, I wasn't sure it was the right idea, but I think in retrospect, it was.
Well, and also, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, I believe one of your kids, were they a senior at Georgia? Is that right?
Yeah.
A year ago?
Yeah, senior swimmer. Yeah, no, I left that part out intentionally, I guess, but yeah, I remember very vividly about 2:30 on March 11, 2020, calling him, knowing that his career just ended, basically, his college career. Mm. And at that point, he was a swimmer there. NCAA championships were next week, and I just felt so badly for him because he was ready. He was going to have a good NCAA championships, and he didn't get the chance. And at the time, actually, the fallback was, well, at least you'll get to swim again. You'll get the Olympic trials. And no, that got canceled too, like everything else. And that was the end of his career. And I mean, wow, that was tough. That was a tough phone call. I do remember that very clearly.
Well, and on the 21 being better than 20 topic, your daughter Brooke, you're talking Pac-12 swimming and diving scholar athlete of the year, 11-time All-American. So right at Stanford University. For people who don't know, Super Parent Pat, the Super Parents, the 40s, have some terrific athletes out there, but that's got to be pretty awesome as a dad.
Super mom, that's for sure. Dad's along for the ride, willing to claim glory, but with not really contributing much to it. So, it's been great. That has been a lot of fun, and she will swim in the NCAA championships next week. That'll be great.
Awesome.
Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Pat, as we're now getting back into conference championship weekend, Joe and I are both of the opinion this weekend is, I think, really underrated when it comes to, like, everybody looks ahead to the NCAA tournament and filling out the brackets, and that's a thing that pretty much every sports fan out there enjoys. But I love conference championship weekend. Like, where does this weekend rank for you in terms of the great events of the year in college sports?
Yeah, I really actually enjoy this more. Starting today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I mean, next week is awesome because there's a national championship on the line and the teams are even better. But, you know, I mean, today there's 57 games that start at 11 a.m. Eastern and go till 11:30 p.m. tip-offs. And all over the country. And, you know, next week we'll be down to a handful of games. So there's more basketball. There's more going on. Teams are fighting, you know, for those bids that wouldn't get them otherwise. I love this week. I love championship week, and can't wait really to watch all of it all day today, all day tomorrow. It's going to be awesome.
Are you at one? Or are you monitoring from home?
Yeah, I'm monitoring from home for the first time in, I don't know, like 30 years. You know, it, I'm going to be specifically interested, really interested in the one in your town, in Nashville, the SEC tournament. You know, gosh, I mean, if this were a normal year with Arkansas being back as a contender, It would be electric because the days in the 90s when they were good and Kentucky was good and both those fan bases were bumping chests in the same arena, it was awesome. You know, in the day, it was 50% Kentucky fans, 40% Arkansas fans, and 10% the rest of the conference. And it was great. And I think this year you would at least have that Arkansas influence back. Now the Kentucky fans are beaten down enough; they may not want to show up. But you know their team still has a chance. We'll see what happens today. I expect them to win today. It's a tough matchup with Alabama tomorrow if they get to that point. But you know this will be an interesting day, I think, in Nashville for sure.
Do you think that they – what do you make of – I mean, obviously, it's just so hard to, you know, take a lot out of this year in sports in general, but the fact that all of these power programs have struggled. We're seeing Duke now. They just beat Louisville. Maybe they can make a run. We know Kentucky has to win this thing to get in. What do you make of that, and do you think Kentucky has the chops to do that?
I don't think this team can win four games in 4 days. I think they can win one, and then we'll see. But, you know, it's not necessarily for lack of talent. I mean, they've got a couple of guys who could be first-round draft picks still, which tell you how dysfunctional this team has been. Duke could shoot. They're into the quarters now. They could keep going in the ACC. I think they're a better team than Kentucky is. It's just been a weird year from a standpoint, I think, of trying to put together a team quickly, early, not having as many of the soft, easy games that, frankly, build confidence and help you set rotations of who you can play and who you can't play and who you can rely on. And, you know, I think, like, Kentucky's confidence got destroyed early by playing good teams and losing. And, you know, there may have been some of that effect for Duke as well. And when your team is as young as those teams are, I think that can have a really negative effect and take a long time to overcome.
Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Pat, I want to ask you about Gonzaga because Rex Road is convinced that they blew it the other day by not losing in the conference championship game, and now they're going to lose at some point in the tournament. But can they finish this thing off? Can they finish this season undefeated, in your opinion?
Well, I have long been an advocate of exactly that, lose a game somewhere, that you don't want to carry that pressure into the NCAAs. I mean, frankly, it's been 46 years since somebody's done it successfully, or 45, so I think that there's something to that. But I'm going to pick them, I think. We'll see how the bracket looks, but I intend to pick them to win it. I think they're good enough, and I think this year is unusual enough that I'm going to throw out my usual predisposition on that. Glorious offensive team. I think they're good enough defensively I do think at least having the scare was good for them and should help alleviate some complacency, we're fine, we just need to get out there and play and we can beat anybody. I think now, like, okay, you get behind by 14 to a better team, especially a better defensive team, you're not coming back. So I think that was probably good for them, but we'll see if they can carry that burden of undefeated all the way to the finish line.
Pat, I want to take it back to Nashville, the first game last night. Vanderbilt beats Texas A&M. They're missing one of their top two players. It hasn't been two, very inauspicious years here for Jerry Stackhouse. But I just, he's got a couple really good players in Pippen Dessou who I think they could be pretty good moving forward if they keep them. What do you make so far of Jerry Stackhouse and even, Bryce Drew, the firing? He's got a team in the tournament now. What do you make of that whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like Vanderbilt Athletics was such a mess with Malcolm Turner. I don't know whether any of their decisions were good for a while. I know Candace is trying to get things back online. I think they made a good hire in terms of football. From a basketball perspective, I've been underwhelmed with Jerry Stackhouse. I do agree that, they've got some good players now. And, I think maybe certainly you give them another year and see what a normal year or a more normal year looks like and see if there's progress there. I don't know. It's just that's a team that I thought should have been better than it has been. Like they underperformed. But, again, it's been one of the strangest years we've ever seen. I don't think this is a great year to make definitive decisions on coaches.
Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Pat, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Great stuff, and hope you enjoy conference championship weekend. We'll be watching with you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, one of the best in the business. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Pat had to say there and revisit from our own point of views this day a year ago when the world of sports as we know it shut down. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Fans, due to unforeseen circumstances, the game tonight has been postponed. You are all safe. And take your time in leaving the arena tonight and do so in an orderly fashion. Thank you for coming out tonight.
I'm Scott Van Pelt here at ESPN. This astounding and unprecedented story continues to evolve. At halftime with Adrian Wojnarowski, I suggested that we would speak to him soon. I had no idea that it would be this soon. He has just tweeted within the past 2 minutes that the NBA is suspending the season.
Jay, NCAA has made the decision to cancel the men's and women's tournament. What's your reaction?
I'm not sure there was any other reasonable choice, Reese.
Some breaking news from the world of sports, this time involving the NHL. Still unsurprising, yet remarkable at the same time. The next league pressing pause on their season.
This is crazy. This can't be true. I mean, it's not within the realm of possibilities. It's just, it seemed more like out of a movie than reality.
What a crazy day it was on this day 1 year ago in the world of sports when the NBA leading the way, shutting down, Rudy Gobert testing positive for COVID-19. And Joe, that would set off a chain of events unlike we've ever seen before here in this country, both in the world of sports and really in general. And here we are a year later, still kind of trying to navigate through this thing and get through it on the other side of it. And look, none of us knew exactly what we were dealing with at the time and how long it was going to be and what the ramifications were going to be. But this day a year ago, I remember I was watching ESPN while all this was going down. And when Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19 and everything started to kind of unfold after that. That was as crazy of a 24 to 48 hour period as I can remember in my lifetime.
Yeah, I was courtside at Bridgestone when that happened. So I'm covering the Vanderbilt game, and I'm looking at these videos on Twitter of Gobert. It's interesting too, because later you got the context of it, and he was kind of kidding around. But like when I first saw him, like, wait a minute, he's rubbing their tape recorder.
Yeah.
Like it was just. And then, like you said, it was just boom, 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 one thing after another. In fact, I retweeted this, so I wrote about it last year. So I went through it and read it again. There's a lot of stuff that actually I had forgotten, too, because I think everybody thinks of the Gobert thing. Like, that will always be the thing. Someone tested positive. But what I've forgotten, for example, is Nebraska's coach, Fred Hoiberg. I don't know if you remember, but he had to leave a Big Ten tournament game. He was, like, sick.
Yeah.
And so everybody's like, oh, my God, what's well, like, I mean, you know, we just, it was so early. No one had any idea what was going on with this virus, really. I mean, it had been in other countries, but obviously Italy had been just having an awful time.
Yeah.
People dying, you know, super spreader events, all this stuff. That same night, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson said they tested positive. All of a sudden, you got the 30-day ban on travel. But, yeah, Hoiberg, it ended up being, it was influenza. Influenza A was the diagnosis. But at the time, it was like, is he going to die? I mean, it was just, and then coming back to Bridgestone next day, I was in the media room, and the Vols were out there. You know, you could hear them out there shooting on the court, and then it was, but like you could tell, like you knew it was coming quickly, and then it all just stopped. And man, it just, I mean, so many things that so many ramifications there for people. One, health, but also, you know, economy. I mean, all of a sudden, all these jobs are in jeopardy. I mean, restaurants and bars. I mean, so many things that go through your head, and then it just kept going from there. I mean, I still think back to the Nolensville High School girls basketball team, which was about to play in the state semifinals and could have won it all. Fantastic team. And obviously all those teams that got their sports just ended. From a sports perspective, there are more serious things, like Pat Forty said. I mean, people, thousands and thousands of people lost their lives. In the sports perspective, you know, you have to keep it in perspective, but a lot of tough moments.
Well, I remember, you know, us doing the show that morning, the next morning, and just kind of not knowing where things were going to go. At that point, the NBA had suspended their season, and the question we kept asking was, is the NHL going to be next? Because the Predators had just played a game in Montreal. They were traveling to take on Toronto, still on as a part of that road trip. They were starting to figure their game out a little bit. We're playing a little bit better. And you were thinking to yourself, like, what's going to happen here? And then later that day, the NHL announces that they postpone their season. The conference tournament ends up being wiped out in the SEC and throughout the conferences, a lot of conferences around the country. So it was one of those things. I think at that point, hadn't the Ivy League already made the decision to pull the plug at that point?
A week prior
to that, yeah.
And people were questioning that of, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Also during that, you know, like the, because, you know, you have this hope, like, okay, a month of lockdown.
Yeah.
And everything can come back. And I remember, like, when the College World Series was canceled, you know, I mean, I remember at the time thinking, like, already? Like, they're already doing that? Yeah. You know, of course, that was, like, Vanderbilt was going to try to repeat as national champions. So, but yeah, you're right. The Ivy League was before. And I remember this too. You know, Dan Walken takes a lot of I remember when he wrote it, I'm like, come on, Dan. But he wrote the column, like, this Ivy League thing, this could, like, the NCAA tournament could be in jeopardy. And my initial reaction was, no, it's not.
Right.
There's no, even the day here when they told fans, no more fans for the rest of the tournament. So this is the Wednesday night. They announced it during the second game, and everybody booed, and they left. It was okay. I still was like, well, they'll still play.
Just won't have any fans.
Right. I mean, I even think back to that night, like, I'm in the arena talking to all these Kentucky fans who are like, yeah, like, well, I'm worried about COVID, but I disinfected my hotel room and, you know, I sprayed everything. And
yeah.
It feels like years and years ago. And, of course, back then no one was wearing masks. It was like masks or not, not important. Then they became important. And then we can get into the whole thing about people not understanding that, like, science is trying to figure this virus out minute by minute, and some of the information is going to change, which helps feed the, you know, the conspiracy theories and politics and all that stuff. Also that night, and I wrote about this in the column that night, I was in a bathroom, happened to go to the bathroom, the media bathroom, and when Scottie Pippen Sr. was in there, and as he was washing his hands, another guy was in there telling him how, like, Bill Gates has a lab in Wuhan and, like,
yeah,
this whole conspiracy thing. And Pippen just like, okay,
okay,
man,
I'm going to leave.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was an interesting
Never a good time, moment. Either in a pandemic or pre-pandemic, to have nice bathroom conversation. Just leave that till when you're done.
Yeah, I just kept my mouth shut, washed my hands, and then I was like, that's going in the column.
Ryan Porth, what do you remember about this day a year ago as the program director of a sports radio station? What was going through your mind?
Well, a lot of things were going through my mind, and I remember just that entire week there were, if you looked at the ratio of questions versus answers, it was probably a million questions to one answer. There were so many more questions than there were answers, especially once the NBA started. That night in particular is so surreal because you have Woj on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt breaking the news that the NBA has suspended its season. At the same time, Mark Cuban is sitting at an NBA game stunned that the season is being suspended, yeah. And you have an arena full of fans. I mean, that's a sold-out building as everything is going down. You have a later game that night. I mean, and that gets postponed because one of the refs was a close contact to the Jazz and everything was going on. So, I mean, that 24-hour period is one that I don't think any sports fan will ever forget because it was a domino effect the next day, March 12th, where you know, NHL, I think baseball suspended spring training at that point, NCAA tournament, and you thought that it was only going to last a month. You know, I remember Elliot Friedman saying that the NHL season, that the next goal was to start the playoffs on time.
Yeah.
You know, a month later. And everything just changed so quickly over time, both in the sports and in the real world. But, you know, a couple of behind-the-scenes things for as a PD, we were planning the bus trip to Columbus.
Yeah.
That was that Saturday coming up, and we had been planning it for weeks. It was almost a sold-out bus, and, you know, that Monday we're thinking, is it really the smartest idea to be going on a bus up to Columbus? Like, we don't really know what's going on. The next day, the Blue Jackets announced no fans for Saturday.
Right.
So then that goes down. So we cancel the bus trip. The next day, we have a Smashville Live scheduled with Greg Sankey and Sean Henry from the SEC tournament with Jared Stillman. It was one of the Smashville Lives that we were looking forward to the most throughout the whole season from Bridgestone Arena. Early that Wednesday, Greg Sankey backs out because everything's coming up.
Right.
Sean Henry then at like 4:30, because of everything going on with fans inside Bridgestone Arena, Sean Henry has to, you know, cancel his appearance. But we can't cancel Smashville Live at that point. So me and Thomas Willis are in here at 7 o'clock, you know, just pulling a Smashville Live out of our butts, not knowing if there's even going to be a Preds game the next night against Toronto. Yeah. And at all, you know, as all of that is going down, there's something brewing in OKC where Royce Young of ESPN is tweeting about everything going on with Rudy Gobert. So it was nuts. Just absolute nuts.
You guys still have the tape of the Smashville Live?
No, we burned it.
That was a great one.
Burned it.
Yeah, just chaotic. And I mean, to me, the prevailing, I mean, honestly, I think the prevailing emotion, fear for sure.
Yeah.
But also, like, just sad. I mean, it was just sad, you know? And that's why I did have this feeling last night. I mean, it's still there might have been 1,000 people in that building last night,
right?
You know, and most of them were Vanderbilt fans, and it wasn't normal. And you're up in the hockey press box watching basketball, and it's still, you know, the teams are on both ends, they're totally spread out. I mean, it's not normal, you know, it's still very different, but still, like, it felt pretty good. And it feels, I don't want to get too optimistic, people are getting vaccinated, it feels like the future here is going to be normalcy and packed stadiums and packed arenas. I hope so.
Hope so as well. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion and introduce our poll question of the day as well at 1025 The Game on Twitter. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. All this week, stay tuned to 102.5 The Game for SEC tournament coverage presented by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. We'll have a lot of SEC tournament coverage coming your way later in the show. Tom Hart from the SEC Network will join us at 9 o'clock. We'll look ahead to the first full day of SEC tournament action taking place today at Bridgestone Arena. And right now, discussing this day a year ago when the world of sports
shutdown as we knew it and the domino effect that happened after that in the sporting world. And obviously, as we all know, been dealing with the effects of this pandemic ever since then. Joe, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland texts in and says, I just remember being 21 at the time when everything shut down. And unfortunately, I never took any of it seriously until January of this year when my grandmother passed away. I always wear my mask, but that changed the entire perspective for me. I've got two kids and one on the way, and I always tell them how depressing it was not having sports for that entire time to get everybody through it. Well, first, Brian, we are really sorry for your loss through this process. And I think, Brian, not alone there. I think it's just been – it's crazy to think back to this time a year ago and what we thought we knew and now what we actually do know about this virus. Like, it's just been incredible, that journey. Like, to your point, like, everybody, like, spraying down their hotel rooms and buying up cans of Lysol at the Dollar General and, like, right, soaking yourself in it. Like, it was just it's incredible to think about what we were all thinking about and all, I guess, anticipating would happen this time a year ago.
Yeah, it was a lot more, like, surface concerns, right, early. Yeah. It's also incredible to, again, think back to, like, people who acted like they knew and, you know, informed the public badly, people with platforms who pretended this was, like, nothing. I mean, yeah, it's still disgusting as it ever was to me right now. But I don't know how that affected the overall way things went, but it was at times very discouraging to see people not be able to just do things like wear a mask, you know, just be safe and try to get through it. I do feel like that got a lot better around here after some initial concerns, but you know, it's one of those things where everything becomes a polarizing topic somehow, even though it's public health.
Yeah, and it's one of those things now where, like, I've told you guys this, like, I'll be flipping around through the TV and even highlights that I'll see from old games, or, you know, we've had people, you know, tweet in about, you know, the Predators from 2017 and, like, going back and watching some of those highlights and the crowd and everybody in the stands and what the atmosphere was like. Like, I remember what that's like, obviously. But it just seems weird now. Like, even when I'm watching movies now, there will be, like, a whole bunch of people around each other. I'm like, oh, that's a lot of people all congregated up together,
yeah,
right there. It's just kind of weird to think about that a year later. And it gets you wondering, like, you know, watching sports has been such a different experience over the course of the last year, from the bubble and the NBA to the NHL to NFL teams playing in front of empty stadiums, college football teams, now college basketball as well, with limited fans back in the building. You know, hopefully we're getting closer to the point where you have buildings that are full again and you can have crowds that you enjoy in the atmosphere in some of these sports, especially sports like college basketball and college football that make the environment so special. Hopefully we're getting close to the point where we can start to do those things again. But I do wonder, like, what this last year in terms of sports watching, covering sports, everything, what this has done and how much things will change as we move forward and hopefully get back to quote unquote normal.
Well, I hope Zoom press conferences end forever. I
do too.
You know, honestly,
I have a feeling they're not going to. But,
well, I don't know. You think so? Like, so let's say,
I think it won't be, you know, strictly Zoom, but I think Zoom will be utilized in some capacity.
Like, so let's say that everything goes as we hope everything goes, and we get herd immunity and everyone gets vaccinated and we go into the summer and have what might be the best summer ever. And yeah, you go into the fall and the Titans are at a road game. Are the Titans going to do a Zoom call for people to do the press conference?
Yeah.
Why?
But you'll be there. I mean, you can have people there, but I still think they'll operate via Zoom with people who don't go.
Why?
People who don't, because
they shouldn't.
Because people and companies are going to look at this and say, why would we need to travel and pay for people to travel anymore?
Well, that's different, though. Can just,
but that's going to be part of it. That's going to be a part of this decision, I think.
Well, I agree with you that you're going to, like, you see less travel,
yeah,
corporate travel, stuff like that. But for the specific example I'm giving, I mean, here's what's, like, just covering a team. And honestly, I've said it. Take me out of it, too. Okay? To me, people who go should get to ask questions. people who aren't there, so we don't have 35 people with a question, should shut up and get off Zoom. Thank you. There's my TED talk.
I like it.
I don't see any reason to continue with Zoom press conferences if people can travel and go into a locker room and talk to people. It should totally go back to what it was.
I hear you, but what I'm saying is when companies, like maybe people in charge of local newspapers, determine that the cost benefit of not sending these reporters to travel and cover these games anymore, when you can just do things over Zoom, I think we're going to see a lot of that.
Well, that's fine. Then they don't get the interviews.
What happens if you've got one guy traveling? He's just going to ask all the questions in the press conference?
Well, I mean, there are some teams that are pretty close to that.
I know.
Right? I mean, how many people let's see. Like, how many people cover the San Jose Sharks? One or two?
Yeah, three or four.
Is it that many?
That are consistent, yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think of other
Arizona
Coyotes. Yeah, there you
one
go.
One or two.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, to me, the one or if you are investing to send, again, you're getting open locker room. You're getting to go talk to these people. Like, it's a totally different situation if it's all back to normal. I don't understand why, again, like I said, if I don't travel, I don't expect to be able to be on Zoom and ask a question either.
Sure.
I'll take the three people who are there. They'll ask all good questions, and that's fine. That's how I hope it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm just interested from the financial part of this to see how it changes in that area. But even
what about broadcasters?
Yeah, I mean we've seen broadcasters calling games remotely. Now, I mean, it's not the same, and you can tell that there's a little bit of a difference. But I mean, it hasn't been a huge drop off. Like, you know, Pete Weber is calling games from Bridgestone Arena when they're on the road. Willie is too. They're doing a great job. Like, I'm interested to see what that part of it looks like as well as we move forward.
I'd like to, and I know, you know, people have done stories on this, but I'd like to ask those guys how much of just how different it is, how much harder it is.
I'm
to
sure
do.
It's a lot harder. Yeah,
it's a big challenge for them.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a monitor. I mean, when you're there, it's just a totally different thing, right?
Totally.
But then it's what's the value? I mean, that's obviously a big cost, especially for, you know, announcers of teams like NBA, NHL teams that have a ton of games. But, I mean, look, ESPN was already doing some of this before all this. They were already doing a little bit of in-studio, especially with, like, and even, like, Big Ten Network, SEC Network, some of the, like, non-revenue sports.
Yeah.
They were doing some play-by-play remotely like that. I'm sure we'll see more of that. Even though it's not ideal.
ESPN did it for the World Cup in Brazil.
Yeah.
There were a couple of crews that stayed back, did games in Bristol. And I thought then that was like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Why aren't they in Brazil? And now you see present day that it's easier to pull off. But I don't know if it's definitely harder for them to call the games that way.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question.
There's no substitute for being there and seeing it with your own two eyes.
And even, like, you know, watching sports, like, one of the things that was amazing to me, and maybe it was just, like, the timing of it in terms of everything kind of getting shifted off of its normal schedule, but, like, a lot of the ratings, you know, for the NBA, the ratings were down. NHL, the ratings were down in the bubble. Like, it was one of those things where you're like, okay, everybody's sitting at home. Why are they not watching sports more? Like, it was just – I think that's an interesting thing from a TV viewership perspective that people are going to have to figure out moving forward here.
Well,
and, you know, people that would normally be at the game, you think that caused ratings to go up?
Well, and attendance at games was before any of this was already a concern, and it's going to be a concern again, and maybe more of a concern now, because some people who were like, I'm going, are like, okay, actually, it's not all that bad.
I personally cannot wait to just start going to games again.
I agree. Games and concerts.
Yeah,
every chance. And maybe there's some of that, too, a little bit of the backlash of like, oh, I'm going to everything I can go to. But it's still a big picture concern of arena size, stadium size, cost, parking, beer, and then the home theater.
I would say with the ratings and the fact that they were down a little bit, I think one factor to that is there were no fans.
Yeah.
The viewing experience definitely at the start was different. It was flat out different watching the Stanley Cup playoffs without fans.
Sure.
And the other side of that is there are some average fans of sports, no matter what the sport is, that are more invested in that sport if they are going to the games, and that causes them to keep watching teams or games. And if they're not doing that, then they may not be as inclined to watch the game when they can just watch Netflix or something else.
Yeah. And then you have the NFL, who just apparently gets affected by nothing. The ratings fine. Everything looks great in the NFL. Other than the salary gap.
Cap went down a little bit. But, yeah, they're by far the best off. Another thing about this whole situation, I agree it was different. But when they started playing real hockey games in the bubbles, that was, to me, was like – and also the NBA bubbles. Yeah. That was massive. I got legit emotional the first Preds practice day.
Yeah.
We were there.
Me too, walking in the building. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, my gosh, we're actually watching people do sports things in person. Crazy, you know? And what that would have been July, right? July something. So you're talking, you know, 4 months of just who knows what the heck is going to happen in life.
Well, I remember talking to – I mean, I got on the phone and did an interview with Forsberg and Hamuse and Fabro and a whole bunch of different guys, like, while this was going on. And just the uncertainty that they all had there. I mean, Forsberg told me, he's like, I don't really know what to do right now. Like, I'm just sitting at home playing video games. You can't go skate anywhere. So, like, I'm doing push-ups and playing Call of Duty. I mean, that's basically all they were doing. It was amazing to just hear that. I mean, it's one thing for us not to have any idea, but for players just kind of sitting there too, have no idea what to do. It was amazing to think back about that time.
Yeah, and, like, where do you go? I mean, obviously, like the Ekholms went back over, you know, but some stayed here, and you're just totally isolated, more here than there, for example.
Just a crazy time. It's some ways, it's amazing that it's already been a year, and in other ways, Joe, it feels like it was 10 years ago, this day a year ago, and everything that's happened since then. So we'll continue to react to that and take your reaction all throughout the show today on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But when we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You'll have your opportunity to guess the goal score for the Predators tonight in the game against Carolina. If you get it right, you'll win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game. Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Nashville Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. And we've got an opportunity to see, number one, if Robbie Stanley can get on the board in this competition. It's been a dry spell for the three of us here with Porth, Rex Road, and myself. The listeners have been on a roll as of late. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Matt from Nashville, who is today's participant in Preds Pick to Click. Matt, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Well, we appreciate that, Matt. So the Predators taking on Carolina tonight. Matt, who is your pick to click for tonight's game for Nashville against Carolina?
I want to see Forsberg get in there.
So Philip Forsberg back on the selection committee for the listeners tonight. That's a good pick by Matt there. Matt, we appreciate you taking time to join us. And look, we knew, I mean, the listeners, I think the last two times in a row had gotten away from picking Philip Forsberg. We knew that we'd be back at some point. Matt going the route of Philip Forsberg tonight. Did not score the other night against Carolina. So maybe he's due.
Because you picked him.
I know. That kind of means I can't do it now, right? I can't curse him twice in a row.
I mean, I guess if you're worried about retribution from Forsberg, he's a pretty big dude.
Be. Yeah.
Great mustache, kind of a big guy. You might want to avoid it. But I'm not going to – I mean, if you want to do it, man, you're at zero. I can't tell you. I can't tell you
Joe
what
Rex
not to
Rowe
do.
Joe Rex with a nice reminder of where I am on the scoreboard. Ryan Porth, today is your day to get the first pick. So if you are ready, we'll let you do this. Ryan Porth, your Preds Pick to Click participant tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes would be who?
Tolvanen.
Eli Tolvanen. Ryan Porth goes with Eli Tolvanen in this competition. Joe Rexroad, you did not seem very surprised that's the direction that Porth went.
Yeah, I feel like there's until something really changes with this team, there's going to be a lot of Forsberg from the caller.
Yeah.
And whoever gets the first pick, Tolvanen for us. Okay. What is it, by the way? It's 5-4-1-0? The listeners have five?
Yes.
What? What? I can't say zero again? I can't mention
it's
zero?
It's just another reminder.
We talked about it three times during the show today.
I'm sorry. I was mostly just asking about the listeners are at five.
Yes, they're at five.
Okay.
You're at four.
Four.
None of us have registered anything.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
Weeks.
Yeah. So I'm going to, on a hunch.
Just assuming he's getting the second pick. You are, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hey, honestly, you shouldn't have to go last.
It's my turn to go last.
I want to give my pick to you.
No, it's my turn to go last.
I want you to take it.
Okay, I'll take Matias Ekholm. He won the ice the most tonight. So give me Matias Ekholm.
There you go. At some point he scores.
See, taking a different strategy.
I like that. It doesn't change my pick. I'm going to, on a hunch, he got close last game a couple times. I'll go with Victor Arvidsson.
Okay.
I think he's due to find the back of the net.
He did have a crossbar and a wide open net in the last game. So you're saying he finishes the job today?
Yep, it's about that time.
Okay, so
it's about past that time.
Matt, our listener, going with Philip Forsberg in this competition, Ryan Porth selecting Elli Tolvanen. I'm going with Matias Ekholm, which I already regret going with the defenseman, but we'll see how that works.
He's been on a tear.
He has been on a tear.
Like you said,
he's going to play a lot.
He's going to play the whole game.
He's going to be out there a lot tonight. Statistically, maybe my best chance. Joe Rexroad going with Victor Arvidsson in this game against Carolina. That has been today's edition of Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Gentlemen, good luck. We'll see what happens in the competition tonight. And John Hines joining us earlier in the show, saying that the defense pairs could be interesting tonight. Jeremy Davies probably going to have to move over to the right side, so said the pairings could look something like Ekholm with Carrier, Borowiecki staying with Benning, and then Jeremy Davies moving over to the right side, maybe alongside Ben Harper. So with Josi being out with injury, Ellis being out with injury, and now Dante Fabbro serving the first game of a two-game suspension, the Predators' depth at the defense position being tested pretty heavily tonight against Carolina.
Yeah, and I thought really interesting, too, from John Hines talking about Elli Tolvanen, and when we had him talking about how he thought he actually dipped a little bit for a couple games. They had a talk with him, and he responded. So it's not like it's all smooth. You got ups and downs, but obviously a guy who, to me, is one of the main reasons to watch this team right now, to see if Elli Tolvanen can keep it rolling and have himself a breakout season. He's on his way.
He is, and for the Predators fans who wanted a youth movement to begin the season, I mean, you're getting it right now. Six rookies in the last game, and it's one of those things where, I mean, you could have even more in the game tonight with Fabbro being out as well. So it's not really coming about in the way that you probably hoped for heading into the season in terms of the youth movement, but you're in the thick of one right now, and I think for the most part, the young guys have responded pretty well. Like, I thought Tuesday night, given what that roster looked like and the team that they were going up against in Carolina, who's been playing red hot as of late, I thought they played just about as well as you could have hoped for if you were a Predators fan on Tuesday night. I thought 5-on-5, they were actually the better team. Carolina just got on the power play and got hot, and, you know, when you've got Svechnikov and Aho and Jordan Staal playing really well right now as well, there's a ton of weapons that Carolina has. The speed has been their main weapon all season. I thought the Predators, for the most part, did a pretty good job of hanging with them from that area. And younger guys coming in that can move pretty well, I think that certainly helps there. But with this lineup, you're almost going to have to play a perfect game to hang in there tonight with Carolina.
Yeah, but I think sometimes if you have a veteran team with a lot of players who are underperforming, and a lot of individuals who are, you know, like Victor Arvidsson is trying to get off the schneid here. I mean, Matt Duchene before he got hurt. You tell me if you agree with this. I feel like sometimes it makes it easier for a team to get off its game because you have individuals who are worried about stuff.
Agreed.
And so you get a young, banged up team together, and maybe it's a little easier to focus in on the specifics, the system, all these things, be a little more airtight.
Yeah.
A team like that. I mean, I know that ultimately, like, you need better players to win games, but maybe that's part of how they played the other night, and maybe that's something that'll unfold tonight.
Well, I think it is interesting. Like, if you're a young guy coming in, you're trying not to screw up the system, right? So you're coming in,
and that
you're
can be bad too.
Yeah, I mean, that could be bad too, but you're trying to go in there and make sure you're putting the attention to detail to playing the game the right way. When you're a veteran guy, you've got the system down, but it's just not. It's not going for you, and it's not falling in the back of the net. Sometimes I think that takes you outside of the system and outside of your game, and maybe you start pressing too much. So, again, I mean, there are pros and cons, I think, to both scenarios. At the end of the day, you need talent to win games. But I think there could be something to that where you've got younger guys coming in, and maybe structurally that helps you stay in longer when things aren't happening immediately in game. So we'll see what the Predators are able to do tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. I do want to pass along some breaking news in the NFL, Joe. This coming from Adam Schefter from ESPN. The Chiefs have released former number one overall pick Eric Fisher, per sources.
I broke that story earlier on the show.
Did you really?
Well, I read it on the internet that it might happen.
Oh, okay.
But yes, not a huge surprise.
No.
That's a big salary, big-time player when he's healthy.
Eric Fisher, 30 years old, and we had a texter on the text line earlier, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, ask about the Chiefs, how they're able to keep all these pieces together.
There you go.
There you go. Some pieces starting to fall apart.
And as you may have noticed in the Super Bowl, they missed him.
Yes, they did.
As great as Patrick Mahomes is, if you have a guy running for his life all day, he's not going to be all that good.
Chiefs are also releasing all-pro right tackle Mitchell Schwartz. So, Patrick Mahomes may need to put his running shoes on next year.
So, Kenston, if you're listening, yes, I agree the salary cap is overrated. It is not non-existent.
Hope Mahomes does some stretching this offseason. He'll be doing a lot of running next year. I'm fascinated to see how this plays out. Like, I realize the Super Bowl was an extreme scenario, and they had some injuries, and that Tampa Bay front was really, really good, and you're not going to go up against fronts like that every week. And Mahomes was still somehow able to make some throws in that game where you're just like, oh, my goodness, look at this dude. But with the offensive line like just being disassembled right now in Kansas City, I'm fascinated to see how this affects that offense and Mahomes and an offense that's just been so prolific the last 3 years.
Well, you got to draft. You got to draft linemen, and because, I mean – you have got to, and maybe we'll see what the Titans, if they're going to do anything on the offensive line or not. But to me, I mean, you have to protect your quarterback, just like the Titans have to figure out a way to affect some. And if you can't do that, it can ruin everything. I mean, unless maybe the one guy who can overcome that better than anyone is Deshaun Watson, because he had a terrible offensive line, and mostly he has had, and still he's great, but that's not how you want to play. And even Mahomes, it's good to be able to just kind of drop back and set up sometimes and step into a throw, not have to like drift left and, you know, do some of the ridiculous stuff that
throw
no one else
the ball
can do
while you're perpendicular to the ground.
Yeah.
When we come
40
back,
yards.
We'll switch gears and look ahead to the first full day of action here in Nashville with the SEC tournament. Tom Hart from the SEC Network will join us. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.